This is Cincinnati Edition. I'm Howard Wilkinson. Last week, the Ohio General Assembly passed a $62 billion state budget, all 6,000 pages of it. And Governor John Kasich signed it into law Sunday. I'm here with two members of the Ohio House Finance and Appropriations Committee. State Representative Peter Stoutberg, a Republican from Anderson Township, who voted for the budget, and State Representative Denise Driehaus, a Democrat from Clifton, who opposed it. They've joined us to talk about the pros and cons of this budget and what impact it will have on Ohio families. Now, we're taping this segment today because of the holiday, so we won't be able to take your calls or emails. And welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Howard, for being here. I thought we might start out with just a kind of a two-minute drill where each of you tell me what the pros and cons of this bill are, particularly as they impact the typical Ohio family. And Peter, since you were in the Republican majority, which passed this bill, perhaps you could start.
Sure, Howard. Thank you, and thanks for having me. It is a large budget, certainly a little bit larger than a lot of us would like to see, but a lot of what we spend as a state is not necessarily always dictated by us. A lot of that is Medicaid, and then the education piece of it is large as well. For a typical Ohio family, I think the good news is that we're reducing income taxes. Across the board, 8.5% effective this year. So this calendar year, they're going to see a reduction in their income taxes. And then that grows after the next year, and then the final year, we have a 10% cut. So that's real savings to a lot of people. Now, if you look at it in typical dollars, it may not seem that much in the pocketbook, but what I think the goal is that we are incrementally changing the way Ohio is funding itself, and by reducing income taxes and getting away from reliance on income taxes, which I think is a good thing. For small business owners, we're reducing the income tax they're paying, 50% reduction on the first $250,000 that a pass-through entity would get, so like an S-Corp or an LLC. The cons about the budget, we are obviously spending a lot of money, but again, that's largely dictated by Medicaid. Again, this is a budget. We're forecasting that there's going to be a woodwork effect with respect to Medicaid and the number of people who may enroll those previously or are eligible, that they would come out of the woodwork, so to speak, and enroll. And that adds a lot to the numbers as well as far as what we're forecasting. On the flip side, we continue to work at efficiencies in the Medicaid side to try to get that number down.
Denise, you described this as an anti-middle class budget. What did you mean by that?
Well, I also want to thank you for having us this morning. It has to do with the taxes, and Representative Stoutberg just outlined the shift that I view as a negative shift in how we're taxing people in Ohio. So we're going from we're decreasing income tax revenues, but there's a sales tax increase in this budget. And so that is a regressive way to tax people in the state of Ohio. So the sales tax is for everybody. Everybody gets taxed. The income tax is more progressive. And so when you increase a regressive tax and decrease a progressive tax, that's something that I'm not too keen on. And I do not think middle-class families benefit from that kind of shifting. The other things in the budget that I just want to point out are, the cuts that local governments took in the last budget are still in this budget, and the formula has changed, and so local governments can expect to get less revenue into the future from the state of Ohio. The impact of that at the local level is less money for police and fire. And we have had folks run levies to make up for those decreases in the state budget, and I think that's a real problem. There's less money in the education budget than there was two budgets ago. I think we need to invest in education, and especially early childhood ed, and we need to prioritize that and put some money there. And the other piece, the huge omission in this budget is Medicaid expansion. We didn't get it done. It's very frustrating. I think some of us were hopeful that we could come to a bipartisan agreement on that. So some of us still remain optimistic that it'll make its way into some bill so that the state of Ohio will go for Medicaid expansion. I was just with a bunch of doctors this morning at a ribbon cutting, and We're waiting for the state of Ohio to get onto that bandwagon. But anyway, so the huge omission in this budget is that we didn't include Medicaid expansion.
The governor took something of a political risk by going out on a limb for Medicaid expansion under the Obamacare, and that was rejected by the legislature, the Republicans in the legislature. There is time to work this out. Representative Stoutberg, I mean, is there a solution to this by January 1st when this money is supposed to start flowing to the states, or is this a dead issue?
I wouldn't call it a dead issue, but I wouldn't want to anticipate that Medicaid expansion, as people commonly know it or talk about it, will be enacted. It may be. There's a number of different people. There's a number of different ideas that are on the table and being looked at. The reason I'm against the Medicaid expansion as proposed is it is a broken system. It doesn't work very well. And just saying that you're going to expand it and include a whole new group of people and throw them onto a broken system is not palatable to me, and I think a number of my colleagues in Columbus. That being said, there are a number of different ideas and proposals on how to, again, drive efficiencies, look at how the program works so that maybe we can expand, you know, who can get onto Medicaid. But the proposal from the federal government, as it stands and as proposed by the governor, I'm not in favor of it. And unless there are substantial changes to the structure of it, I'm not sure that we're going to be able to get there.
Representative Driehaus, do you see any structural problems with Medicaid as it stands?
Well, in the Finance Committee, we heard a lot about the efficiencies that are being achieved in the Medicaid system. And it is a fairly efficient way to provide health care to folks. And that was borne out by Greg Moody and some of the other people in the administration. And so I would disagree that it's a broken system. And remember, the people that are being covered, up to 138% of poverty, are working people. Under 90% are already covered. So the demographic of who we're talking about is oftentimes a person without dependent children. That's not a person that doesn't have children. Those children are just no longer dependent. So the profile that we received was potentially a person over 50 years old. They're working at a low-wage job. Oftentimes they're women. And so I'm interested in providing health care to those folks. And beyond that, the people that have lined up in favor of Medicaid expansion are the Chamber of Commerce, are the hospitals, are the doctors, are the advocates for expanding health care coverage. So the wide array of people that support Medicaid expansion, I think, is interesting and noteworthy, and the governor just took out vetoed the piece of the budget that said we cannot, as an administration, move forward on this. So as far as timing goes, you know, the administration told us they need 6 months to gear up for this thing, so they're able to do that right now, but we have got to make an appropriation in the legislature to allow for Medicaid expansion in Ohio. So the timing is important. I have heard that we're going back in September to potentially vote on this. I would have preferred that it happened by the end of last month.
The governor spoke to legislators about this in almost biblical terms. I mean, he talked about, you know, not leaving the least of us behind. I mean, was that an appeal that just fell flat on the legislature, Republicans in the legislature?
I'm not sure it fell flat, but there's a number of people who believe that you're not benefiting people by simply providing this type of health care. You're putting them in a dependent state, and it's hard to break that cycle. So some people look at it that way. It's not the best way to serve your brother, your sister.
Let's go back to the tax question for a moment. Representative Driehaus talked about sales tax as disproportionately affecting middle class and lower income people. Is that not the case?
Well, I think it is by definition. Sales tax generally are broadly applied, and it does not depend on your income, how much you have to pay on it. It is 0.25%. What I think the good news is about moving to the sales tax is you're moving to a consumption base. The income tax system penalizes people who are out there trying to make a living, entrepreneurs and risk takers, and the sales tax, if we focus on that, that's a consumption base. By definition, it's going to be regressive, and so we try to balance that out, the impacts of that.
The governor had wanted in his budget proposal to expand sales tax to a whole lot of goods and services that had never been covered by the sales tax. What was the thinking of the Republicans in the legislature about that proposal, and why did they reject that?
Well, that was a long time ago when we took that out, but we don't think it was well thought out, the impacts that it would involve. I heard from a number of companies down here that, you know, there's confusion about how law firms were going to deal with it, how Procter & Gamble was going to deal with it, how, you know, our other people, they may move across the river. And we just don't think that it was something that was well considered, and certainly in a tight budget season wasn't something we were interested in letting go.
Representative Dreyos, I mean, there is a income tax decrease for every single Ohioan in this. Why is that a bad thing?
Well, It is because it is regarding the income that is made by those individuals. And so people at the top end of the bracket are getting thousands of dollars back. People at the bottom end of the bracket actually pay under this scenario. And I've got a chart in front of me. I wish there was a visual. But as you know, at the lowest part of the spectrum, people are actually paying, you know, the second tier, $18,000 to $33,000, you know, they get a reduction of $5. And when you're over $335,000, the return is $6,000. And so you can see how there's a disproportionate benefit to people on the wealthy end of that spectrum, unlike a sales tax, which is everybody at the same level. And so it hits everybody hard. And so that my view is that a progressive tax like the income tax makes more sense. Those that can pay more do pay more. And this is turning that on its head and saying we're going to move in the opposite direction.
What's wrong with that idea, Representative Stoutenberg?
Well, I think that the way we approach this is it is an across-the-board first year 8.5%. Tax cut. It doesn't matter at what level or what your bracket is, you're getting an 8.5% reduction. And I think that's a good thing. And again, by definition, if you make more, you will be paying more. So when you have a tax cut in the works as well, you're going to have those people making more get, you know, more of a reduction dollar-wise.
And there was also in this budget a 50% tax cut for small businesses up to the first $250,000 in income that they have. What was the thinking behind that?
Well, again, those are the people that generally will have your smaller businesses. And we want to attract those people to Ohio. And that is a goal. You know, we want to say we're open for business. And so for the first $250,000, again, it's for the pass-through entities, the S-Corps and the LLCs and whatever else may be pass-through, those people are going to see a 50% reduction in their income tax. And it's just as an incentive to come here, set up shop, bring your family, and you know, help those people out.
Do you have any problem with that?
Well, you know, this was pitched as a job creator. You know, a way to create jobs, create investment in Ohio. When you look at the actual dollar amount that those business owners are getting, it is so small, there's absolutely no way they can hire any additional people. A lot of these folks, by the way, are sole proprietors, and they don't want to be anything other than, you know, business owners that employ themselves. And so the idea that we're going to create a bunch of jobs, I think, is disingenuous. And beyond that, the dollar amount, again, is so low that the other idea that maybe they'll invest in equipment, expand the business, expand the scope of the business, it's just not realistic. And so I, as a former small business owner, you know, unless you dictate to a small business owner how they're going to spend that extra $300 that they're going to get, you don't know how they're going to spend that money. And so I had a lot of questions. I continue to have a lot of questions about the wisdom in doing something like that with having no idea what the return might look like.
Representative Driehaus, what about this idea of tying aid to state universities to graduation rates? Is that a good idea?
You know, so I think that makes some sense. I think we have to be sensitive to the fact that there are universities and institutions that, you know, bring folks in that are more challenged in a whole bunch of different ways than other folks. And so what I don't want to have happen is institutions, especially 2 years, not incentivized to work with people that might not make it all the way through. And so I think by way of policy, there's some danger in that. I understand the point of it. We want kids to graduate. I mean, I'm totally on board with that. But I do not want to de-incentivize trying to help a kid that has more challenges than someone else.
One of the things that was put into this budget were a number of abortion-related issues, Representative Stoutberg. Why is that a proper place to pass those kind of issues in a state budget?
I think it's a fair argument that may not be a proper place. I fully believe in the policies we did put in place, though. And a lot of people spin this as abortion restrictions, and they're really not. What we're doing is, in a lot of things, we're just trying to increase the information available.
Briefly,
I would agree with the representative that the budget is not the appropriate place to have these kind of policies move forward, and I took offense that they were in the budget.
I thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, Howard.
Thank you.
Ohio State Representatives Peter Stoutberg and Denise Driehaus discussing the recently signed 2-year state budget. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our program are available at our website, wvxu.org. Producer for today's program was Pete Reitmeier. Our technical director was Bruce Ellis. With Jay Hanselman, I'm Howard Wilkinson.